Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Today I'm going to talk about praise or thanksgiving and praise. Not just because it's Thanksgiving week. Amen? Not just because, well, I got to get something about Thanksgiving and because it's Thanksgiving week. No, I'm talking about, actually I had something else I was wanting to teach on, but you know, I couldn't get away from this. So we're going to talk. This is what the Lord wants. Amen. But when we talk about Thanksgiving and praise, I'm not talking about just something we do once a year. You know, it is Thanksgiving week, you know. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Not only, you'll find this out when you actually operate in thanksgiving and praise, it is a very enjoyable life. Very. If you lack joy, check up on your thanksgiving and praise. Things begin to happen. Breakthroughs begin to happen. And I'm saying this by experience. When you live a life of thanksgiving and praise, so like I said, not only your life is more enjoyable, but something else starts to kick in. I'm talking about the power of God begins to show up in your life. So praise and thanksgiving is not something we just tack on the end of a prayer. Oh, it's much more than that. Praise and thanksgiving is something we put out in front. It's like my train said. I'm in the trains. I got all types of trains. H.O. and Lionel and the bigger scales. But anyway, I have a locomotive. And guess where it goes? It goes right in front. It does the work. And what's on the tail end is the caboose. Thanksgiving and praise is like the locomotive. It'll take you places where you want to go. It'll take you places where no one else could take you. The power of praise, thanksgiving, saints, it is a game changer. The thing about it, now, isn't that what Jehoshaphat did? Remember? In Chronicles, a great multitude came up against them. What does he do? He sends the praise and worship team out in front. Now, if I recall, when they started to sing and praise, remember they're out in front, but nothing's happening. Come on, nothing's happening until they start releasing thanksgiving. They start releasing praise, and the Lord began to work, setting ambushes in the enemy's camp. Now, what caused that? Praise, thanksgiving, power. It's a major key in our lives, saints. Don't ever underestimate the power of thanksgiving and praise. It is God's will. God's like we talked before. He wants you to prosper in every area. And the key is going to be what you're going to do. His work's done. He's waiting for us to release thanksgiving, to release praise. Then he begins to work in the enemy's camp. And you're just there giving praise. Now listen, this is all before it's happening. This is before the manifestation. See, a lot of people give up. Well, you know, I'll give praise when I see it. Well, don't be a caboose. Put your praise out in front. I mean, God, he takes pleasure in that. He's waiting for us to step out, take our place, our authority, and start releasing praise. Start releasing our thanksgiving. So it's a lifestyle. It is a game changer. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hallelujah. You know, this is a, you know, giving thanksgiving and praise. You have to practice this. Practice. You have to yield. Because I guarantee you, the enemy wants you to do just the opposite. That's exactly what he did to Israel, the first generation coming out of Egypt. But anyway, let's read this. It says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything, now listen, let's back it up. Verse 16, it says, rejoice always. 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything, not for everything. We know that. You know, we don't give God praise and thanksgiving for sickness. No, we don't do that. No, but it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For who? For you. So if you're not giving thanks, if you're not giving thanks, you're out of the will of God. Ouch. Now, a lot of times, I have days, I'm not up here teaching you something that I'm perfection and I have my days, you know, Lord forgive me, I should not have said that. Or I did something. But there's some days I should be thanking and it's not coming out. It says, give thanks in everything. This is the will of the Father in Christ Jesus. It's His will. When we're giving thanks, living a lifestyle, we're in the Father's will. I have met too many Christians who they're in the right place, doing the right thing, but they'll say this, and I've heard it, you know, I just don't feel right. Just something's just not right. And they think it's the place they're in. It's not. They need to check up on, are you being thankful? Because if you're not thankful, guess what? You're out of the will of God. And there's something on the inside of you is going to, something's not right. Something's not right. Check up on your thanksgiving. It could be something so simple. See, listen, this is why God, the children of Israel, got in trouble. They came out of Egypt, bondage. They should have been thankful. But they are a bunch of complainers. And when you complain, nothing good happens. You've just taken yourself out of the equation, God's equation for you, into something else. You just opened up another door for the enemy to come in. There's nothing good comes out of complaining. So check up on what you're saying. Check up on what... Are you thankful? I mean... Bible says we're to examine ourselves if we're in the faith. The Bible says that faith abounds, get this, not with complaining. No, it abounds with, faith abounds with thanksgiving. Will you find a person who is always thankful? You will find faith abounding in God to do things for that person they didn't ask for. I'll prove it to you. We're going to look at some scriptures. This is how powerful being thankful is. Not only does it usher you into the presence of God, we're going to talk about that too. I got to hurry this up. But living a life, I'm talking about lifestyle. We're talking about lifestyle. I tell you, it is a game changer. Things that, listen, when you're complaining, this is what happened to Israel. When you're complaining, it messes up your faith and kills the dream. It kills it. They end up in the wilderness, going in circles, just because they were complaining and murmuring. God couldn't do. In other words, they limited God. They limited God on what they were saying, what their attitude was coming out. Wow, Moses, you're just not getting it. We're going to choose someone else. And so on. We're not complainers. Amen. We give thanks to God. Okay, turn with me. Let's get started. Let's go. Turn with me to Psalms 100. Of course, we know this scripture. And this is really the protocol of entering into His presence. Now, I know, I get it. We're under grace. I get it. You know, we can worship God in spirit in spirit, any place, anywhere. We worship God in spirit, worship Him, praise Him, in the car, at home, anywhere. But here in Psalms 100, He gives us a protocol, the steps. Let's see. Psalms 100, verse 4, it says, enter into His gates with, now listen now, you can't be entering His gates with a bunch of anxieties and cares of this world. You got to cast those cares upon the Lord. So you're entering in with thanksgiving, not complaining. You're entering in with His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Well, Pastor Chuck, I'm not going to. Why should I bless God? Why should I be thankful? Well, He's going to give you some reasons. If we go on to read, it says in verse 5, he gives you three reasons. Number one reason to be thankful. The number one reason to give praise. It says, for the Lord is good. So that's the very first thing He talks about. The Lord is good. So we are to give thanks. Thank God He's good all the time. Hallelujah. All the time. We sing the songs. The Lord is good. All the time He is good. Amen. Number two, His mercy is everlasting. Number three, His truth, His word endures to how many? All generations. You know, in these three reasons, listen now, these three reasons are unchanging. These three reasons He tells us to thank Him and to praise Him, they're always constant. He's always good. His mercy is always everlasting. These things never change. Listen now. The only thing that's really changing is circumstances. They're changing all the time. But God's Word never changes. That's why we can be thankful and praise Him no matter what you're going through, because the Word's always the same. So if you're believing for healing, He's got healing scriptures, prosperity scriptures. Anything you need, the Word covers it. They never change. His Word endures forever. It's never changing. That's why we spend much time in the Word. We spend time meditation in the Word. We spend time in His presence. Because when we thank Him and when we praise Him, guess what? You're ushering into something called His presence. Things happen. See, the things you're going through are just temporal. But you have to make sure you're doing your part. If you're just being, you know, like a caboose and not getting your praise and worship out in front of you, things is not going to change for you like the way God wants it to change for you. We have to do our part. And that's called faith. Getting your faith out in front of you. Thanksgiving, praise should be the first thing. Now, I'm going to keep hammering this. I want you to leave here with this in your mind. thanksgiving and praise. You're ushering in the presence of God in your situation. That's the reason why it changes. But you have to do your part. You're going to have to do your part in the thanksgiving and praise. Then God gets involved. Right. See, God inhabits the praises of His people. That means He actually, God Himself, I'm not talking about angels, I'm talking about God Himself sets down upon you. That's what that means. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. God inhabits the praises of His people. God wants to be involved. But if you don't include Him, He cannot get involved, and then we limit Him. But that word inhabit means to actually rest. Actually, so it's talking about God, the very presence of God. Obviously, I love the corporate anointing. That's awesome. But don't underestimate your private time. That could be awesome too. Allow His presence to come upon you. Enter in. We don't have to wait just to get in church. You could do this at home. Enter into His presence. Allow Him to set upon you. His presence resting upon you. That's what it means when it says God inhabits the praises of His people. He doesn't inhabit the complaints of the people. You keep Him away. But when you start praising Him, you attract Him. And He wants you to feel His presence. He wants you. My little hairs on my arms are standing up. Amen. Now turn with me to Luke 17. This is a good example of thanking God and allowing the presence of God to change some things in your life. Luke 17, verse 12. Verse 12, of course, it's talking about, we've heard this story many, many times, but I'm going to try to throw another angle at it. So in verse 12, we have 10 men with leprosy. They're unclean. They're not allowed to go into public, so they're in quarantine. And notice in verse 12, it says that the 10 men stood afar off. You see that? Verse 12, they stood afar off. Verse 13, it says here, now this is, it says, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus replied, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they what? As they went, they were cleansed. Sometimes healing comes just because we go. In other words, you're going with the word. They had this is what we call a rhema word. A word from God. Jesus spoke. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Now they're going to have to obey that word to get a result, right? So it says, as they went, they were cleansed. So hallelujah. They're obedient and they all 10 were cleansed. But God's not done. See, a lot of times, and I wonder about my own life, how many times I think God's done and God says, I'm not done. I'm just waiting for you to respond. Now get hold of this. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God. Now here again, a loud voice. God doesn't get nervous when you get loud. This shout is a shout of faith. It's a shout of thanksgiving. So he returned with a shout, a loud voice glorifying God, verse 16, and fell down on his face at his feet giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. What's he doing? He is mixing thanksgiving with faith. Other words, he's keeping his faith working. His faith is still abounding. We know it's abounding because he's in thanksgiving. So he's just coming back. He's cleansed, right? He's thanking God. But by his thanksgiving, God's not done. God's going to do something else for him. All because of thanksgiving. What does thanksgiving do? Listen to me now. We just read in Psalms 100. We enter into his presence with what? Thanksgiving and praise. What is he doing? At one time he was afar off. Now we see him at the feet of Jesus. What's he doing? He's entering in. Come on. He's entering in with what? Thanksgiving. Praise. What's happening? The presence of God. So where is he at? He's at the very feet of Jesus. The very presence of Jesus. The presence of God. How do you get there? By thanksgiving. Right. It's the same for us. We enter into his presence. Thanksgiving and praise. It'll take you someplace. It'll take you in the very presence of God. Amen. And God does something for him. He doesn't even ask God to do it. Get a hold of this. He's about to be made whole. Did he ask for it? Jesus replied, where's the other nine? He took note of the nine. It's more than just healing. It's more. This is deep. It gets a lot deeper than just healing. He wanted all 10. Envision this in your mind. He wanted all 10 at his feet. Doing what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise. Why? To usher into presence. He wanted them all in his presence. Now we're talking about fellowship. It wasn't like that God was ticked off that the nine did not show up. A better word would be grieved. That may be a little strong. Disappointed. God, Jesus, which is the express image of God, was disappointed that the nine didn't show up. Right. He had more for them, but they had to enter into his presence to get it. So only one gets a complete wholeness, prosperity, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. He wanted that for all of them. The key is they didn't get in his presence. Right. And Jesus said, just one. And the one was a Samaritan, a foreigner. He wasn't even a covenant person, but he got in there. Right. Uh-huh. Amen. Why? Because God takes pleasure. That's right. Same with us. You get in his presence, God will do things for you you didn't even ask for. That's called favor. Amen. Favor starts showing up. You didn't even ask for it. This is probably one of the greatest examples. And this is before the cross. What? How much more for us who are in Christ? Amen. How much more for us?
That's right.
Will we get in his presence and live that way?
Right.
Make a daily habit of doing this. And you'll find God doing things for you. Favor coming your way. Good deals that you wasn't expecting. You might have been thinking about it or not even coming close to things. This guy's not thinking about it. He is so grateful. He is so thankful. He's just falling at the feet of Jesus and giving him praise and thanksgiving.
Amen.
Now God can do something more. See, God's into much more. So we don't, why would we want to limit him? Just spend more time in his presence. Spend more time with him. I guarantee you, you'll find more things happening to you than ever before. You'll find more joy. You'll find more opportunities. You'll find things coming to you just because God is good. Remember, God is good. That's one of the things we just pray. He's just good.
Yeah.
All the time.
Amen.
Turn with me to John 6. Let's look this a little closer. John 6. Oops, going the wrong direction. John chapter 6, verse 11. Are you there? Now he's feeding the 5,000. Of course, we know this story, but look, I want you to look at this. I'm going to focus in on something. Jesus, verse 11. And it says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, stop. One of the greatest miracles that we see is the feeding of the 5,000. Of course, we know this. We've seen, we know we've been, actually we've been talking about it quite a bit, right? How did that happen? What's the words we just read? He gave thanks. Isn't that something? Well, this is going to take a big prayer for this one. It's going to take some fasting and prayer. No. You don't see Jesus praying to God. Say, what? Look at it. He just gave thanks. Other words, he's giving thanks for what's in his hand. Like I said, you start giving thanks, you enter into his presence, and things begin to happen. He just gave thanks. It's not a bunch of steps here. He just gave thanks. It's not about how many words you say. It's not about, well, Lord, I spent 30 minutes praying in the Spirit. That's good. Jesus, it doesn't say anything about him spending any time. Now, why is that? Now, listen. Because Jesus lived a prayer life. He was prayed up. I said he was prayed up. He lived a lifestyle of being in prayer. He lived a lifestyle of fasting. So, it's not like he runs on this situation, oh, just a minute before I feed y'all. I got to get myself prayed up and going a little fast. So he lives that lifestyle. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
So we live a lifestyle of praying. We live a lifestyle of fasting. Yes, fasting. I said fasting.
That's right.
I don't even like to fast. Actually, I believe, and I'm just going to say this, I believe in living. Kenneth Hagin, I got this from Kenneth Hagin, living a lifestyle of fasting and prayer. I skip a couple meals daily, not just by accident. Now it's a habit. I skip them on purpose because it has to do with the fasting part. I'll go over here. It's part of the fasting part that I don't go on a 3-day fast. I just do something every day. And I've seen pastors, I think Pastor Price, of course, he's with the Lord. He would not eat everything on his plate purposely. Lord may deal with you differently. I mean, we're not all the same. He deals with you what fits you. So what I'm saying is Jesus lived a prayer. He was built up in prayer. He lived a fasted life. So when it comes to the feeding of the 5,000, he just gave thanks because he knew the heart of God. He knew the voice of God. He didn't go in a long prayer. There's nothing wrong about a long prayer, but most of the prayers in the Bible are short. I'm reminded of Moses when he prayed for Miriam, his sister, which had leprosy. He just said, Lord, heal her. That's it. And a lot of times we get this mindset, I got to spend many, 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 many hours in prayer. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's sometimes you should. But that should be a lifestyle. That's a lifestyle too. So what I'm saying, so he's prayed up, he's lived a fast life. I mean, he gets to verse 11, he just takes the loaves, he looks up, he gives thanks. Living a life of thanksgiving and praise ushers in the presence of God. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of John. Verse 41, John 11:41. It says, okay, we got Lazarus, right? He's been dead for 4 days. And Jesus comes, roll the stone away. And Martha, in verse 39, Martha says, hold it now, Lord, hold it. It's been 4 days. He's going to stink. Okay, it's going to be a stench. Don't bother. Don't do that. It's been 4 days. Now, she's not thinking about, she don't think it's possible, obviously, right there, okay? Because in our minds, in my mind too, when I read this, man, he's been dead 4 days. It's going to take a big prayer to do this. It's going to take a long one to do this one. Look at his response. It's not about long prayers. It's not. Verse 41, it says, when they rolled away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you. What did he say? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That's all he said. Now, there is no recording. You cannot find, if you're thinking he's talking about a prayer, you cannot find where he prayed. Now, there's a scripture right down here in verse 33 that he groaned in the spirit. But there's no place in Scripture that talks about what he prayed. I believe he's talking about the words he's about to speak. In verse 43, he's about to say something. But before he says it, listen to me, he's giving thanks. Oh, come on. Before the manifestation, he's going to call those things that be not as though they were. But he says, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And he hasn't even spoken the words yet. He's being thankful. He's got the heart of the Father. He's speaking the words of the Father. Then he says, Lazarus, come forth. We really can't find the prayer he did for that. He's just calling things forth out of thanksgiving. It's too late to tell me thanksgiving doesn't help. It's too late. We already practiced it. We practiced this for the last, how long have we been married? 40? Long time. You practice it. You don't say, I'm going to give it a shot. You just practice it. You expect some things. You have an expectancy because you live in a life of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Oh, we'll hurry up. Let's go to let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Of course, it's another great scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, How much? Nothing. So we read this this verse. It's really two parts. And if you have to kind of watch this, because you can miss it in one or the other part. The first part, you have to make sure you cast all your anxieties over on the Lord. That's the first part. Let's read that again. It says, be anxious for nothing. So we are to cast all of our cares upon Him. And the second part, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, there's that thanksgiving again, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. So He's saying, let your requests be made known unto God. He's talking about mixing. Now, we've seen this already. Mixing your faith with your thanksgiving. There has to be a mix. If you're just praying, well, hallelujah, let's just wait and see what God will do. No, after you pray, you should shift right on into thanksgiving automatically. But there again, I'm telling you, in this case, we are told, commanded to be thankful. You hand in your request and you're thankful. You're mixing your prayer life, your petition, with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, again, is a sign of faith. Just like the leper who came back, the one with leprosy, or one to cleanse, came back to give thanks. He's mixing. And faith continues to work. You give thanks for God answering your prayer request and watch God work. Now, Kenneth Hagin said this. Now, this gets back to the man we just read about in Luke 17. Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, oftentimes he'd go into prayer. He'd go to the Father. You know, thanks through protocol, through thanksgiving and praise, with a petition. But as he said this, and this happened to him often, he said, as I continued in thanksgiving and praise, the answer came before I gave the request. I'll say it again. Kenneth Hagin said this, and then he said this happened often. While he is in thanksgiving and praise, he would get the answer, the petition which he's going to ask of the Lord, he would get it before he had a chance to ask. Oh, isn't that interesting? God wants it more than you. He wants you to be enlightened. He wants that more than you do. He wants you healed more than you do. He wants you to prosper more than He does. You get in His presence and you start mixing thanksgiving and praise. Good things always happen. Amen. And this is exactly what happens to Paul and Silas. Now go with me to Acts 16. Of course, all these things we've heard before, but it's so good to look these over. Acts 16, verse 25. Of course, you have to remember, in verse 22, they've been beaten with rods. 23, they've been laid with many stripes. Verse 24 says they've been put in the inner prison. And we get down to verse 25. And it says, at the midnight hour, at midnight, Paul and Silas. Let me back that up. Let me read this out of the actual Greek. The actual Greek says in verse 25, it says, and having prayed. So Paul and Silas, It says here, they prayed. We all know the story. They prayed and sung hymns, praises to the Lord. But the actual Greek says, having prayed. Other words, he went to the Lord and they prayed. Now, I believe, I'm affirm, this is my opinion, I believe that when it says having prayed, I believe that he's praying in the Spirit. Paul said, I'll pray in the Spirit and with my understanding. So I believe that's what he's did or doing or did, past tense, when it says Paul had, after having prayed. Prayed in what? Praying in the Spirit. Because you're reading on, it says that the prisoners heard them. Right. Speaking in tongues is a sign for what? For the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt in my mind that Paul is doing a lot of tongue talking. Mm-hmm. Praying in the Spirit. Then they shift into praise, thanksgiving. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, it says, not only will he pray, not only does he say, I'll pray in the Spirit and with understanding, he also says this, I will pray, I will sing hymns in the Spirit, and I'll sing hymns with my understanding. So now they're shifting. See, you got to listen to it. Jesus talked about perfected praise. I believe he's talking about praying in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, praises, it's perfection. It is perfected. You're not missing out on the will of God on that. You're praying in the Spirit. Those words are just not your intellect. They're coming out of your innermost being. Paul said, praying in tongues, you give thanks well. Praying in tongues, you give thanks well. And also you can also include praise. So there's no doubt in my mind he's praying in the Spirit and he's praying with his understanding. But what he's doing, he's starting to mix now. He prayed. Now he's shifted over into the praise and to the thanksgiving part. Oh, now he's ushering in something called the presence. Amen. Well, you know, we prayed and, you know, let's see what God can do now. Let's just wait and see. Well, they'd still be waiting and seeing now. Don't say those words. Let's just wait and see. No, shift gears. Get your locomotive out in front. Get your praise and worship and get it out in front of you. Have an expectancy. Because when you're thanking God and praising God, you're showing God that you have an expectancy. You're allowing faith to do its work. And it works. Give it time to work. We're not on a time schedule. When you're giving thanks and praise, you're not looking at your watch and you're saying, well, it's been 3 minutes. No, it's lifestyle. You don't care. In your mind, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, it doesn't matter to me if it takes 100 years. I believe that I received. Amen. I believe that I received. Amen. You know, when you make your prayer request, you make your reference point. When I make my reference point in prayer, I don't keep praying the same thing over and over. Sooner or later, you have to believe that you received. Right. So once you believed that you received, that's your reference point. That's when you start releasing your thanksgiving and praise. Right. That's when things happen. Amen. That's when major breakthrough happens. And they hear, and this, it says in verse 26, what we have? A suddenly. That's after they praised, not before. It's after. They're singing hymns, singing psalms. Now, suddenly, the presence of God shows up. So this is not by accident. They're attracting the very presence of God. God inhabits, again, the praises of His people. when he sets down, things happen. And it says, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors opened and everyone's chains were loosened. That, saints, was not by accident. That was because they entered in and got in the very presence of God, and God shows up. We're talking lifestyle. We're talking about the very presence of God. God is very interested in what in your life, and He wants to be involved in your life, but you have to let Him. You have to magnify Him. You have to praise Him, thank Him. Get Him, because if we don't, we'll limit Him. Amen. Let's go one more verse. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. We'll close. Hebrews 13, 15. And it says, therefore, by Him, let us what? Continually offer. Now, the Amplified Bible says, constantly and at all times offer up. So the New King James says, let us continually offer the sacrifice. Now see, he calls this, now he calls it a sacrifice of praise. Now why would he say sacrifice? Because a lot of times your flesh will not want to do this. Your flesh will want to do something else. Your flesh would prefer to play Nintendo. I'm not into games. I never was into games. Let's see. My flesh would rather play with the train set. We got to give God time. It should be a lifestyle, right? Wow, just, you know. No, it says, therefore let us continually offer the sacrifice. You just have to put your flesh down. This is what the Apostle Paul said. You just have to discipline your flesh. You tell your flesh what to do. Let the spirit man dominate. Now, see, that's not going to happen until you get a renewed mind. You have to renew your mind. So it says, offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving what? Giving thanks. What? Giving thanks to His name. That's exactly what Paul and Silas was doing in prison. Giving thanks, praising God, and things happened. Man, you want a major breakthrough? You want a major breakthrough in your healing, finances, whatever it may be. You're looking for land, house, whatever it may be. You want a major breakthrough? Get your focus on Him. Get your focus on and start thanking Him. Get yourself in the Word. Meditate in the Word. Everything's based on the Word. Everything comes from the Word. God is good. And when we start entering into thanksgiving and praise, things happen. It's a major part of us breaking through to the other side. It's a major part in things you want to see. You want to see things happen and they're not quite happening. Increase your thanksgiving. Increase your praise. Amen. Things will happen. That's what we have faith for. Faith. Keep your faith out in front. How? By your thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Well, Brother Chuck, it can't be that simple. That's so neat about it. It is that simple. Just keeping your mouth full of thanksgiving, full of praise. And yes, this week, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Make it even more so. Make it even more special. We thank every day. We thank God. We were talking about, you know, Joanne's getting ready for all the, for next week. She's got a list, things she's got to do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, I was sitting down outside and I was thinking, man, we're blessed. We're in America and God has blessed America. Yeah. And there's a lot of people want to tear apart what God has done. But the church is still here. Yeah. And as long as the church is here, we're going to thrive. Yeah. Now, they do what they want. Our focus is on God. Yeah. And we're going to continue to give God praise, give Him thanks. God is good. Yeah. His mercy endureth forever. But I was thinking, back to that story, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of nations, kids, they're trying to look for food. They're searching for food. And we're in America, just open up your refrigerator. Look at your house. Look at what you got. We are thankful. We should be the most thankful people on the planet. Because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.